This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, The God Who Can Keep Us From Falling. How you live matters. We don't live right to get saved. We live right because we are saved. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Y'all shouldn't have came to this service. Y'all don't mean that. Don't say stuff you don't mean. Open your Bibles to the book of Jude. I know you don't know where it is. It's the next to the last book in the Bible. The last book of Revelation. And there's one chapter book right before that. And I'm going to preach through the whole chapter. Yeah, it took y'all a long time to say take my time, but that's okay. This is an epistle written to the church from Jude, the brother of Jesus. He's one of his brothers. And I want to title this message. Let me read verse 24 and 25. Let me start there, verse 24 and 25. Now to him, verse 24, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I'm titling this message, The God Who Keeps Us From Falling. Is there anybody here that knows that we serve a God that can keep you from falling? I want to start at verse 1, and I'll give you my points as we go along, but I'm going to start off by reading these first two verses. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Stick a pin right there. First of all, I know right off the bat, everybody's not going to be interested in this message. Some of y'all gonna probably fall asleep while I'm preaching. If you do sleep, sleep with dignity is all that I ask you to do. Let your head fall forward so the people behind you will think that you're agreeing with what I'm saying. Don't lean over and disturb your neighbor. But this is a message to people who know they are called and those who are sanctified. He said, this is who this is for. It's for the called, the sanctified, and preserved. Sanctified means God has set you aside for his assignment for your life. It means you've been cleaned up. God has straightened out your life. God has made an effort to help you be right in his sight and to walk right in his sight. You are sanctified. You've been cleaned up and set aside for the purposes of God's kingdom and preserved in Christ Jesus. Mercy, verse 2, peace and love be multiplied to you. And then he begins in verse 3, and he starts off by explaining the challenge of why he's writing this particular epistle. In verses 3 and 4, here's what he says. Beloved, verse 3, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Stop right there. He said, look, I wanted to just talk to you all about this great salvation that we have, but it was necessary. I felt the need to write to you to fight for the faith, contend for the faith, which was delivered to the saints, to all the saints. And here's why, verse 4. Here is the challenge. That's my first point, the challenge. Verse 3 and 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Stick a pin right there. And I'm not keep sticking pins everywhere, but stick one here. He said, there's some creepy fellas who have crept into the church. Who are marked out for this condemnation. They've been pointed out by God of who they are, ungodly men. And here's what their problem is. They have turned the grace of our God into lewdness. The King James Version uses the word lasciviousness. I got to tell you what it means because you don't know what either one of the two words mean. Here's what he's saying. They've taken the grace of God and turned it into lewdness or lasciviousness. And that word lasciviousness or lewdness means to just give in to sin, to not even try to resist sin, just go on and do whatever you want to do. Just go, give in, don't resist, don't fight, just yield, just do, live. In other words, they're telling people, live how you want to live. These creepy fellas have creeped into the church, and there's a philosophy, there's a belief, there's a teaching, there's dialogue and discussion among the saints that it doesn't really matter how you live. You can live however you want to live. If it feels right, do it. If it makes you happy, just do it. It is, in fact, my brothers and sisters, a warning. And the truth be told, because y'all are acting a little strange up in the camp today, like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but everybody in here got something by which they are tempted by. Y'all might as well tell the truth. We all got something that when it call our name, we look in that direction. Huh? Come on, holler at a brother right quick. Is that true? Anybody know that's true? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody got something. Some area. Some temptation. Some weakness. Something that your flesh. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, your flesh is nasty. Tell them. Your flesh, your nasty flesh. Now, I didn't confess to y'all my shortcoming. Y'all know it is. My weakness is Twinkies. When I walk into 7-Eleven, the Twinkie aisle be calling my name. They be saying, hey. And I don't want to go down that aisle because they be in three-part harmony. Calling my name. Beseeching me, beckoning me. And all of us got something. And this man is saying, don't just give in to the Twinkies. I don't know what your Twinkie is, but you got something that calls your name, that attracts to you. You know, we don't testify, you know, God ain't gonna get any glory out of me saying I don't drink or I don't smoke. Those are not my issues. Never have been, never drank, never smoked. I never did anything like that. But there's some other things. God wouldn't get any glory by me saying I don't drink, I don't smoke. I'm not tempted by that. But all of us got something that when it gets in our vicinity. Amen. We consider. Yeah. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Am I telling the truth or am I lying? Now, I don't know what y'all's issue is, but I have a feeling what some of y'all issues might be. Because last Sunday, we had communion. See, they already laughing. They know what I'm going to talk about. At communion, last communion, we have a part in our communion covenant that says we will abstain from the sale and the use of it, behavior altering substances for recreational. Y'all already know it by heart. But I noticed, I guess I hadn't paid attention to it, but I was looking around at communion and I saw people putting their head down, putting their hand in front of it like this, and they was doing that. And they were mumbling over it, just skipping all over it. I said, in the middle of the covenant reading, I said, stop, we're going to go back and read this again. Because the saints have a problem at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden with these substances. Look at the people clapping, look at the people not clapping. Go ahead. The saints of God, what y'all be drinking? What is it? What y'all be drinking? Let me come over here. Huh? What is it? Water. No, here's the deal. At both of the first two services, I asked, what do the people be drinking? They said the same stupid answers like they said. And nobody had the courage to tell me. So I went to Google, and Google told me what it was. Margaritas. Cosmopolitan. Gimlet, is that right? Manhattan. Negroni, is that right? McDowell's number one whiskey. Smirnoff vodka. Is that right? Did I say it right? How you pronounce it? I don't know how you pronounce it. Huh? Smirnoff? Thank you, my armor bearer, Joel. I just wanted somebody to tell me the truth of what the deal was. And I had to go to Google. Actually, one of our members Googled it for me and sent it to me so I could know what to say, since y'all didn't have the courage to tell me. Huh? Say that. Coke? Rum and Coke. Thank you, Gerald. I appreciate that. Johnny Walker Red. Huh? Tito's? What is that?
It's a vodka. They know what it is.
I'm asking you what it is. You oversee a restaurant. Oh, you don't drink it yourself, but you, because you work at the restaurant, you know what it is. You oversee it.
Ciroc.
Ciroc? Okay, keep going. What else? What other things?
Old fashions. They like to smoke old fashions. They put it on Instagram too.
Smoke?
Yeah.
Smoked?
Smoked old fashioned.
Smoked old fashioned. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are their favorites.
Do they still drink?
Moet,
do they
Ace
still?
Of Spade.
Ace of Spade. You got them all down, girl. You seem like you know them too well.
No, but they buy it. They buy it.
They buy it.
$750 a bottle.
$750 a bottle? And then they're up there complaining about paying their tithes and offerings. OMG. Oh my gosh. I'm pastoring a bunch of drunkards at this church. My Lord have mercy. Yeah, well. The challenge is that, here's my point, and while I'm talking about this challenge, here's what I want you to know, that, you know, we all got temptations of something, but don't give in to it. If you don't remember anything else that you hear me say in this message today, I'll be finished by 2:00, I promise. Don't give in, fight it. Resist it. War against it. Eventually, you're going to get the victory. Yeah. Because there's a philosophy, there's a theology that tells people just go ahead and just give in. Don't even try to live right. Don't try to do right. Don't try to be obedient to God. Don't try to please God, but just resist. I'm telling you today, resist it. Somebody say resist it. He said, I wanted to write to you because I want you to fight. I want you to resist it. He said, I thought it was necessary for me to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints, because these creepy fellas are trying to turn the grace of God into lewdness. They're trying to say, go ahead and live however you want to live. God's grace will suffice. God's grace will cover you. God's grace will take care of it. Just give in and live with it. Don't even try to resist. Tell your neighbor, please try to resist. It's whatever your temptation is. Tell them, roll it around on that extra little bone in y'all's neck that y'all can do that little special thing. And tell them, whatever you do, resist it. Somebody say resist it. These creepy fellas, verse 4, he says these creepy fellas have come in and they're trying to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, lewdness, looseness. And then he tells us in verses 5 through 7 that there are consequences to just living your life any kind of way. There are consequences. And he tells us in verse 7, but I want to remind you, verse 5, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. I want you to get that. Because he's saying, you remember the children of Israel when God delivered them out of their slavery and out of bondage, and God delivered them out of Egypt, but they never made it to the promised land because they failed to believe. They sinned and they didn't make it to the promised land because of the sin of unbelief, that they embraced unbelief, they believed unbelief, they refused to believe God could take them into the promised land. And he says they never made it in because they failed to believe God. And if God judged his very own people that he picked and selected and delivered out of Egypt, and now you're trying to think that you can live however you want to live, don't you know he will punish you too? Yeah. Then he says this in verse 6. Follow me, flow with me. This is my second point here, the consequences. This is the consequences of living that kind of life. He says in verse number 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. Y'all missed that. Let me explain it to you. The angels that were created were once in heaven, but they tried to take over heaven, and God kicked them out of heaven and condemned them to a place called hell. They're going to go to hell. Everlasting chains, because they sought to overtake the sin. The sin was trying to overtake heaven. God punished them, his own creations. And then he said in verse 7, has Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 7, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God brought fire because they lived wicked, sinful, sexually immoral lives. Don't let anybody tell you that you can sleep with who you want to sleep and do what you want to do, and don't you recognize there are consequences to that lifestyle. I know the world tells you to go ahead and live with the brother, move in. I know the world tells you that it's okay to drink. I know the world tells you it's all right to party. I know the world, go ahead and preach, Pastor. I know the world tells you that it doesn't matter how you live, it's okay, God will cover you. I'm here to tell you it does matter how you live. Don't give in. Don't surrender. Don't build a bar in your basement. Don't drink. Hold on. I felt tension in the room when I said that. I've been challenging people not to drink all day, and every time I get to that point, it gets quiet. The attitude, let me tell y'all something. The attitude in the scriptures about alcoholic beverages, okay, y'all don't, behavior-altering substances, because it's not just liquor. Just because the government says cannabis is okay, don't mean it's okay in heaven. The other day, I was greeting some people at a service, and they had a baby, and the baby looked drunk. I mean, the baby was just his eyes rolling around and his head, the eyelids halfway open. Then my wife said, "I smell cannabis." You're gonna affect your own children by it. And then look, at the early service, I asked the question, at the 10 o'clock service, I asked the question, "What y'all be drinking?" Ain't nobody say nothing. In the section over there, two little kids raised their hand. The father did like this. The kids know what you drink. Your kids are watching your lifestyle. It makes a difference. And I'm here to tell y'all, y'all know I'm here to make sure you know from the standpoint of what this church believes and what we believe the Bible is clear. God's attitude toward behavior-altering substances is clear, including liquor. It's clear. It's unwise. Whoever gets deceived by such things is unwise. The Bible's clear about it, but y'all can excuse it all you want. You can try to say it's okay, long as I just drink a little bit of it. You know how people become drunk? They start off with a little bit of it. I see y'all getting quiet. Got real quiet in this section right here. That's how you start to become, that's how you start off being a drunk, by doing a little bit. But a little bit will leaven the whole lump. A little bit will start you down a path of addiction. A little bit of drugs, a little bit of cannabis. I don't care what the government says. I don't care how they pass the law that says, okay. Our standard is not the standard that men decree. Our standard is the decree, is the commandments from Almighty God of what we should do. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Now that's the problem. That's the warning. Let me be crystal clear about it. Here's what these consequences are telling us. If God judged Israel for their sin, if God judged angels for their sin, if God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their immorality because of their sin and the cities around them, don't you ever think that you could get away by doing it too, that God won't punish you. Can I get an amen right there from anybody? And then here's my third point. I'm almost finished. He gives us the characteristics of how you can tell who these jokers are. Because they in your family. They're your friends. They're the people you like hanging out. How many of you know you got to be careful who you hang out with? The people you hang out with will determine your theology. The people you hang out with will determine the lifestyle. When you look at how they live and what they live and what they do, they will make the determination of what choices you make with how you live your life. I'm simply trying to raise the flag and give a warning and tell you to choose righteousness all the time. Be around people who will inspire you to do right, challenge you to do right, pray with you to do right, encourage you to do right. Be around people who will teach you and show you and struggle with you to challenge you to do the right thing. What do they look like? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 8. Likewise, also these, here's the first characteristic, these dreamers defile the flesh. They are filthy dreamers. They got crazy dreams. They reject authority. Stop, stick your pen right there. Be careful of anybody that don't have an authority in their life. Be careful of anybody that don't have anybody in their life that can tell them to sit your asteroids down. And there's some of y'all in here like that. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You're not submitted to no authority. You're not listening to anybody. That's a warning. These are the characteristics. And they speak evil of dignitaries. They say bad things about people in authority. They not only reject them, they speak bad about them, it says. Are y'all with me? Verse 10, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. So first of all, they talk about stuff they don't know what they're talking about. Y'all ever met anybody who don't know what the hell they're talking about? You need to shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. He says, I'm right here, I'm in the scriptures, and whatever, and this is whatever they do know, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. In other words, brute beast means they have no control. They're wild, like the wild animal. They can't figure out that they shouldn't be living and doing these things, and they just give themselves over and corrupt themselves with behavior that's unnatural and unreal. Woe to them, he says in verse 11, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the era of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. I don't have time to talk about Cain or Balaam or Korah. I have to come back to that on another day, but the bottom line, take a feel, it says, woe to them. Warning to people who live their lives in such a way. Warning, 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 Will Rogers, warning. Y'all remember Lost in Space? That's before some of y'all's time. Warning. It's a warning that he says to you. So these are characteristics. Somebody say, these are some characteristics. Tell your neighbor, be careful. Make sure you don't have no friends with these characteristics. Verse 12 says, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. All they care about is themselves. Their life is centered around themselves. Their decisions are about themselves. Don't you know that God has called you to do something that's beyond you? These are clouds. They are clouds without water, carried away by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He is simply trying to give us a warning that these are not people we want to hang around with. Look at verse 16. They are grumblers and complainers and walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. You know what that means? Flattering people. They say nice things about you because they want you on their side. They speak nice things because they want you to agree with them. These are sensual persons, it says in verse 19, who cause division, not having the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. And wherever they go, they cause trouble. They cause fights. They cause division. The ministry was fine till they got in the ministry. But let me close. I'm about to close. Here's my first close. He gives us a strategy of what you should do. Let me tell you quickly what you should do. Verse 20, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You've got to build your faith. Somebody say, I got to build up my faith. You got to ask yourself, what are the practices in my life that's building my faith? How do you build your faith? Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. When you hear that word of God, when you hear the preached word of God, when you hear the testimonies about the word of God, when you read the word of God, when you study the word of God, it builds up your faith. He says, build up your holy faith. That's point one. Then he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the corrective course, by the way. Let me just tell you, this is what this is. The corrective course. Build up your holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I love that because he said, let the Holy Ghost pray through you. Most of us spend our time praying about what we want. We got our own agenda. We got our own list of we want this, we want that. But the scripture is telling us, have a prayer life where the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf to God. The Holy Ghost knows what you need in order to get you where God wants you to be. And so he says, pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost intercede on your behalf before God. You got to learn, you got to get spiritual enough to not let your flesh be praying all the time. Let the Holy Ghost pray for you. Praying in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself in the love of God, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's an important point. That's point three. Keep yourself in the love of God. Wake the person up sitting next to you. Just hunch him real quick. Say, wake up. I'm almost finished. What does that mean? That means don't allow anybody to put hatred in your heart. You got to get to be mature enough that when somebody hurts you or does damage to you, that you don't let that hatred or that resentment or that bitterness get in your heart. You know why? Because bitterness is an avenue for the devil to get a foot in the door in your life. Some of you are going to get to the place that the people who once angered you, you're going to mature. If you keep hanging around, you keep getting discipled, you hang around long enough, you're going to get to the point where you're going to be able to go to the people that hurt you and you're going to be able to say, thank you. You're going to be able to say, I'm better because of what you did to me. What you did to me caused me to do some things I would have never done had you not have done it. Because of what you did to me, I developed a relationship with God. Because of what you did to me, I have a walk with God. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my prayer. Because of what you did to me, I saw God open doors. I saw God fight my battles. I saw God defend me and honor me because of what you did. Thank you. Y'all hear me on this point. Don't let people hurt you to the point that you harbor bitterness and hatred in your heart. It's an avenue for the enemy to defeat you. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look for the mercy of our Lord. Look, expect the mercy of God in your life. How many of you know that we've experienced the mercy of God? I thank the Lord that he did not give me what I deserve to have gotten. Oh, I wish I had a praying cry. I'm glad he didn't give me what I deserve. But hold up, let me flip that. Mercy is so good that it often gave me what I didn't deserve. Y'all not here. I'm so glad he didn't give me what I did deserve, but I'm grateful he gave me what I didn't deserve. Woke me up this morning. I didn't deserve to wake up this morning. Gave me the activities of my limbs. I didn't deserve the activities of my limbs. I didn't deserve the blessings and the favor that God has put in my life. And I'm looking for the mercy of God. Somebody tell your neighbor, look for the mercy of God. I'm almost finished. I know I'm over time. But y'all told me to take my time. In verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. On some have compassion, making a distinction. You can make yourself distinct from everybody else when you start showing compassion to some people who don't deserve the compassion that you show. I want y'all to think about somebody who you ought to cuss out. But instead, I'm going to pray that God move you to do something compassionate for them. Figure out a way. Y'all want to see the blessings of God? Do something nice for somebody who don't deserve the niceness that you show them. And then we get to the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the for real conclusion. Did y'all get my four C's before that? Okay, what was the first one? Challenge, number two. Consequences, number three. Characteristics, number four. Corrective course, here's number five, the conclusion. Go ahead with your C's, Pastor. Now unto him who is able. I feel a shout down in my soul to keep you from stumbling. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you today. I'm thankful that we serve a God that as I'm walking down the path, he'll keep me from stumbling. There's plenty days I fail. There's plenty days I stumble. But because I applied this to my life, he keeps me from stumbling. When he keeps you from stumbling, you can walk down the street that you used to couldn't walk down and not even be tempted to go down the street. Y'all not here. Y'all not see. You can drive past a street that used to take you out. When you went down that street, you failed. When you walked down that path, you failed. But we serve a God that's able to give you an anointing and gifting and power that when you drive by that street now, you can walk on by. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? You can keep on driving. You can keep on going in the right direction. Now unto him who is able to keep me from stumbling. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but let me preach to you and prophesy to you that you will get to a place in your life that that thing which is frustrating you and defeating you and pulling you down, I prophesy and preach to you that God's going to cause you to grow to a place that you will be able to walk on by. Who am I preaching to today? Who am I prophesying over today? Who is it that you see today? You ain't there, but you're going to get there. God's going to take you there. You're going to get there. High five somebody. High five somebody. Say, that's me. I'm going to get there. High five somebody. Say, I'm going to get to that place. And hold up. Not only am I going to get to a place that I won't fall, I won't stumble. He said he will present me faultless. Somebody say faultless. Look at somebody, tell them faultless. Without error. He's going to wipe the slate clean. He's going to clean up your life. And when you stand before him on that day, you will be faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. With no fear or anxiety, but you're going to have exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. To the only wise King, excuse me while I preach to myself for just a moment. To the God who will get you right, not because of your power, but because of his power. His power in you, his anointing he puts in you. You will do right. You will live holy. You will make the right choice. You will be what God's calling for you to be. Can I get an amen from anybody? With exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Because you're following Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm concluding. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching, but it's okay. Who am I preaching to today? I just want you to fist bump five people and say, you can live holy. Go ahead, tell them, but fist bump. Tell them, you will live holy. You will live holy. You will walk in the right path. You will do the right thing. You will be everything God's calling you to be. You're coming up out of that hole. You're coming up out of that sinful behavior.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. We should not be comfortable living lies that are out of order. We must fight our temptations and not give in. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.